international detective dragons from outer space.
Welcome or welcome back to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. I'm Adam Five, and thank you very much for downloading and listening to installment number 21. The question for this episode was, if you had all of the powers of Superman without any of the moral or ethical constraints associated with him, what would you do? We'll go into that along with the results of the creativity invite and listener feedback, some greetings and welcomes to the new members of the Frapper Map, the main body of discussion this week, which will be heroes and heroines, all this and more. Welcome and thank you again. Sit tight and we'll get right to it right after this.
The alchemist of old spent his lifetime trying to change base metals into silver and gold. But now, Chandu will teach you this secret of the ages. With his mystifying Assyrian money changer, you can change pennies into dimes. Chandu will send you this magic trick for just 25 cents and a White King box top. Listen, place a penny on a table. Now cover the coin with the mystic ruby block, the magic money-changing block. Then utter the magic word, So-coot. Now, remove the block, and in place of the penny, there is a silver dime. You boys and girls will want to start your magic collection with this Assyrian money changer. Here's a fine pocket trick for you men to spring on your friends and business associates. And if you ladies want to be sure your guests have a good time at your next party, try entertaining them with Chandu's magic trick. Just send 25 cents in coin and a box top from White King Soap to Chandu, Los Angeles 21, California. That's Chandu, Los Angeles 21. Make magic your hobby. Make White King your wash day soap. You'll love White King.
Hello, I'm Nev.
And I'm Sarah.
From Does My Geek Look Big In This.
And you're listening to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.
The best detective dragons in the universe.
What broke the window anyhow? A bullet?
I don't think so, no. Look here on the floor.
A rock with a paper tied to it.
Now, as you know, or maybe you don't, listener feedback, shoutouts, welcomes, acknowledgements, always get top billing on IDDFOS. I do those first. If you write in and add your 2 cents or you send an audio, why should you have to wait to hear it read or played? No waiting. Emails and audio, thank yous, hellos, they always come at the top of the show. Don't believe me? Test it out for yourself. You'll see what I mean.
Say, let's see what that paper tied to the rock says.
Oh, I've forgotten all about that for the moment. You untie it, Speed.
Okay.
The first email here is a response to the powers of Superman question, and it comes from Sarah herself of Does My Geek Look Big In This, and she writes, I'd build a great wonder of the world, mainly because I think it's a shame that we don't really do that these days for non-commercial reasons. Probably a big world museum for people to fill with art and historical artifacts. Cool idea, Sarah. The use of superpowers to build something up instead of breaking things down like vault doors or bomb factories or submarines or stuff like that. Superman was always punching things apart. It's an interesting concept, using superpowers to build things up, and that would be a glittering monument to creativity, a giant museum like that. And you're right. And you're right. We don't actually have anything we could call a wonder of the world, do we? I mean, that'd be... What would be a wonder of the world today? Arguably the closest thing that fits as a wonder of the world, not done for commercial purposes, would be the fact that we're getting home movies sent back from the surface of Mars.
But how does that compare to the Colossus of Rhodes? I mean, in ratio to historic capability. I think I'll search my memory now here and come up with the list of the original wonders of the world. What were they? For search my memory, read look it up online. Oh, I remember now. It was this stuff. Okay, listed in order of their construction, the seven original wonders of the world were the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, the Mausoleum of Mausolus at Halicarnassus, the Colossus of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. There it is. Astounding early constructs done by kings or governments, not because they needed good PR, but because they could. It's 280 BC! You're Greek in the Hellenistic era. What are you going to do now? I'm going to... Well, now, wait. They can't really say that. They didn't have theme parks back then. I'm going to build a gigantic statue straddling a waterway. Why? Because I feel like it. I found that information. I found that link, of course, at Wikipedia. And I'll put a link to it because I got cool pictures and stuff. Shows what all those things were. And I'm going to put a link in the schnotes? No. Show notes? No. I have decided that from now on, the International Detective Dragons from Outer Space show notes will be referred to as the Gurkatingatongatongs. I can do that. Dare me to do it. You don't have to. I've already decided. Sorry, it's just easier for me to say. Apologies to Dragon's Landing. I know I've done schnotes for a good long while now, but I don't think it's going to hurt them any. It's easier for me to say kurikatingatangatung than show notes. And so I will. Anyway, the links to the Wonders of the World and that Wikipedia article that clued me in on them will be on the IDD FOS page in the kurikatingatangatungs. And judging by the competition... it looks like that would have to be one hell of a museum, Sarah. It's a good thing that you have the powers of Superman, because that would make the job a lot easier. Any new listeners might not know that Sarah, along with Nev, happy birthday, Nev, the two of them produce a terrifically fun gaming podcast called Does My Geek Look Big In This? Check that out if you like beer and gaming and movies and good listening. www.doesmygeek.com. Or just click on their permanent link on the IDDFOS webpage. So thank you, Sarah. Next, again, a response to the powers of Superman question. And this one is from Digger's Story. Adam 5, let's get this out of the way. First things first, I would acquire as much money as possible. Strength alone is not enough in this materialistic world, baby. Network... No, that's no good. I got to go back and do that line again. I'm sorry. That line needs some justice. Here we go. Let's give it another try. Strength alone is not enough in this materialistic world, baby. Yeah, that's much better. Network with people who are and can make a positive change in our world. Number one project, get the world off of their craving for oil by seeking out creative minds and inventors. Pay them buco money to turn the oily apple cart upside down. I would work and fight smart. Surround myself with the geniuses of the world who have integrity. Delegate, delegate, and delegate authority and work. These people would have to have a heart for people and be of good reputation. Run for president and make big changes. Can't kill superheroes, so go for the gusto. Raise funds to build a university that specializes in training public servants to be real public servants. And have the heart and the mind for public service. Shift the power of money to responsible people. Superhero would depend on his or her supermind rather than flying around putting individual fires out to save humanity, although I could do that on weekends for fresh air and exercise. Spread the peace like butter, baby. Digger Story. There we have it. Another superpower's path to tread. Social reform, world, political change. And change brought about not through X-ray vision, bulletproof skin, or the power of flight. I'm going to make a quick observation here about both these responses, Sarah's and Digger's stories. All of these goals they mentioned don't actually need the powers of Superman to accomplish. They're not easy, not by a long shot. Build a monumentally immense and beautiful world museum. Gather the best and the brightest creations and historical artifacts to display in it. That's not exactly a piece of cake. Especially if you wanted to rival the Great Pyramid. But could it be done without superpowers? Yeah, I think it could. And Digger Story's first step was pretty much to replace the superpowers of the Man of Steel with the current superpower of ginormous wealth. And once you've got all that financial clout, who needs fists? And all the rest of the list, that could be done without using frost breath or flinging boulders around or flying out into space with missiles or anything like that. None of it's easy. None of it's easy at all. It's outrageously difficult, but it's not... Nothing they mentioned is totally in the realm of comic book fantasy here. I mean... Come on, I saw people walking around in a daze back in the early 80s, and they were in utter shock. They were almost disconnected from reality. Why? Because Ronald Reagan was actually elected president. But that's interesting. They came up with very constructive goals that don't actually need the powers of Superman, but of course accomplishing them would have been a lot easier if you did have that power. So what about you? Would you have ideas or projects in mind that are as constructive as those that I just read? I'm going to be honest with you. I sure didn't when I started thinking about this last year. But we'll get further into that in a bit. First, if you recall, from installment 20, I made an offer and a request. A request for your creativity. Pictures that you made. Pictures of things that you've made, stories, music, audio, anything that you have created. And the pics and the links to files and et cetera, that they'd all be prominently displayed on the IDD FOS site. Well, I had two listeners take me up on it, Digger's Story and the Norwegian Viking, Mr. T. Thank you both very much. Digger's Story provided her submission through this email. And it reads as follows. I suppose a link would be far better than one piece of work for your request. I don't think I could choose just one. My link of choice would be www.picturetrail.com/homepage/diggerstory. No worries about this link. It's going to be displayed in the Kurkatingatangatungs along with all the other links for this show. So if you didn't catch that, that's fine. But that's her link, a link to picture pages. She continues. This is where you will find Digger's Story Podcast, our peace mission. You will also find my picture galleries of my history, interests, favorite quotes, short bio, and my photography and artwork, artworks, and the clubs I submit works to. Modder's Haven Club is my favorite club. That's M-O-O-D-D, oh, sorry, that's M-O-D-D-E-R-S, Haven Club. Modder's Haven Club is my favorite club. And she has a link for that there, too. Ooh, looky there, trying to sneak in another link. Did you see that? Evil snicker. You don't have to sneak them in. Just put them up there, and I'll put them on the page. Anyone can join and submit a photo in Modder's Haven Club, and artists like myself will modify it for free. I know, it's nuts. I get paid big money for this stuff, and here I do it for free. You get paid big money for it? I've been modifying photographs digitally for 14 years. How do I get a gig like that? I'd like to get paid big money for that. Anyway, sorry, I keep interrupting. There's so much more at Picture Trail, and the links take time. If anyone wants to get to know me, this is the place, at least for now it is. Spread the peace like a virus. Or butter, if that's your druthers. Digger's Story. So, Modder's Haven. Excellent. Modern digital art. Thank you, Digger Story. New listeners who don't know Digger's story should check out that podcast as well, and you can reach that too through the permanent link on the IDD FOS page. Next up will be an audio response from the Norwegian Viking, Mr. T, which touches on a number of topics and ideas he wants to relay. And we'll hear that, along with some welcoming hellos to the new Frapper Map members, right after this. Back in a bit.
Happy little wash day song, for a wash that's whiter and brighter than you. Rinso washes, rinso new, rinso white.
Whiter than new,
rinso bright.
Brighter than new,
rinso white, rinso bright.
Rinso new,
rinso new. It's an amazing fact. 1950 Rinso with Solium gets white clothes whiter, washable colors brighter than new. Rinso new. Even on rainy days, Rinso puts sunshine in your wash. No other soap can make your wash so white, so bright, because no other soap contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. 1950 Rinso gets out more dirt. Yes, gets out more dirt than any other type of wash day product. And yet Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to your hands. Get Rinso today. See your wash become whiter, brighter than new.
Rinso white, Rinso white,
Rinso new.
Happy little wash day song.
Solium. The miracle ingredient, Solium. I love it. I tell you, it's a good thing that kind of stuff is from 1950. Good thing it's from so long ago. We don't have to worry about advertisers trying to lie to us today, thank goodness. But on to Mr. T's audio. Now, Mr. T sent his audio as an MP3 attachment, but if you have a mic on your computer and a few minutes, you can send an audio, and that'll be good to play too. Just click that audio button you'll find right there on the IDD FOS site.
Great galloping gallstones, how do they get to the site? You keep spouting off IDD FOS site, IDD FOS webpage. You've got to tell people how to get there, you ignorant, pompous little swine. By thunder, you vex me horribly with your smarmy little personal quibbles and stupidities.
It's very easy to get there. It's www.nm5.com. Audios are fun. Audios are easy with that button. Give it a try.
Let's get over there, then. He may really have something important.
Listen, Clint. Here, I'll take the earphones off and tune it up so y'all can hear it.
Changing your format, are you? Don't get me wrong, Adam. I like your show, but a bit more structure might help. Just don't change it completely. Congratulations on episode 20. Good job. Just before I forget, I have to give you a response to the 2 episodes you conducted about MMORPG gaming. And I just want to say that I really enjoyed them. My questions to you were quite black and white, but you still managed to get my point. Also, I have to thank you for recommending Sarah and Nev over at Does My Geek. Really like that there is at least one good podcast from Europe, so a shout out to them. Going to give them one directly, I'm just going to have to come up with a Norwegian beer to recommend first. Been trying to come up with a reason to send you an intelligent audio, but I really didn't have much to say or ask till now. From the first time I saw your homepage, I could sense that you were a very creative person. I guess that's why I identified much with your character, and the fact that I liked theater and storytelling helps as well. So, when you asked for us listeners to send you something we had made, I didn't exactly know where to begin, because like you, I have an entire homepage full of creative projects. As I said earlier, I'm a graphics multimedia designer. So I make everything from posters, painting, drawings, photographs, film, animations, 3D models, web page, and so forth. But then I came up with something you wouldn't find anywhere on the web. Some of my music. The reason you wouldn't find that on the web will be obvious when you hear it. Still, here you go. Feel free to use this as you will. As a closing song, or just as a link to your web. Feel free to browse my homepage as well. And if you would like to refer to some of my work on your homepage, feel free to do so as long as you credit me. Good work over at the Dragon's Landing, by the way. The Joe Friday bit was amazing. Fantastic piece of work. Don't listen to Jim. He's just jealous. When it comes to Superman, well, I don't know. But a better question would be, are there real heroes in the world today? Probably not superheroes, but if there were heroes today, who would it be and why? Anyways, good luck with the format change. Be sure to give me a shout out if you need any help, and happy recordings.
Thank you very much, Mr. T. And may I say, I thoroughly enjoyed the music file you sent. It is clear, well, it's a clear indication that you have composition talents to go along with many others. Listeners to this episode will hear that fine piece as the featured music piece before the goodbyes today. Thanks for the good word on the Dragnet piece. It was great fun to do. As far as Jim from Buffalo being jealous, I'd have to doubt that. Sorry, I don't think he was or is or has any reason to be jealous. In fact, I'm jealous of him. I'm jealous as all get out of him. Why? Because he was sitting down at a table, elbow to elbow, with a bunch of my favorite podcasters, shooting the breeze at Gen Con, and I wasn't. I must vent my spleen. What an awful expression. Vent my spleen. How much spleen venting goes on lately? Where'd that expression come from? Do you really want to know? Do you care? Good, neither do I. I checked out Mr. T's graphics design site, and believe you me, talent, the man's got it going on. See for yourself, his submission to the creativity request is twofold, the music and his website. So that'll be linked in the Gurukatingatongatongs as well. He's got this one piece in particular. It's a kind of a round dragon logo. I think it's gold on black, and it's got a kind of a fire effect on the lines. It's kick-ass. Check his artwork out. Well, towards the top of your audio, as for the happy recommendation to download and visit Sarah and Nev's Does My Geek Look Big In This? Yeah. I mean, maybe there's other great gaming podcasts coming out of Europe, but they're the one I know. And I could probably look around, listen to some more, and find some more, but time. You know, there'd be an instant gaming podcast hit, Mr. T, if you decided to maybe pick up a microphone and, I already suggested it. I won't nag, but I'm just saying. Anyway, as for real life heroes, well, that's the main topic for this installment. Yet again, Mr. T beats me to the punch and hits the nail on the head. How often do you get a listener that sees where you're going before you've even gotten in the car? So, moving on. The Frapper Map has had 2 whole weeks since episode 20, and we got 3 new members. Welcome, and thank you to Sean J. of theshakespearecast.com. A noble and worthy podcast taking the words of the bard and making them live in the young people he teaches and works with. Excellent. Also, hello and welcome indeed to Mark Kinney of All Games Considered. Another fine podcast. Please check them out at allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com, or once again, find them in their permanent link on our homepage. And a very happy welcome to C.E. Sales, member number 13. That's guts, folks. Number 13, I'm telling you. Jumping right in there and be damned with superstition. Just took up the cause, put that pin on the map, and that was great. And it's great that you all added your pins to the IDD FOS map. Thank you. Thank you all very much. I have an additional note here about CE Sales. Those of you that have looked closely at the IDD FOS homepage may have noted that there is a book being advertised. It's called Hosting the Casimir. It was picked up and published by an audiobooks company out in Washington many years ago, but the trade paperback is available, and CE Sales wrote it and is trying to sell it. Now, I consider that a superb submission for our creative work. And as such, I'm going to try my hand at doing a commercial for it. Like this one.
He's more than a weaver. No one who's just a weaver has that much power. And those eyes, those pitch-black eyes. I only know of one other person with such eyes, and he's no one to tangle with. Trust me, the man I just met is Taj. Taj was killed. Taj was never killed. He was imprisoned. But the history record says... Never mind the history. I'm telling you, Taj was never destroyed. If Taj is in this castle, why did you leave Landon alone with him?
So, what do they call you?
Taj.
That's an interesting name. I didn't think anyone was called that anymore. I mean, one can't help but associate it with the Dark Master.
Yes, I know. Two silly superstitions.
To the recovery of the land.
Ah, that's a better one. Ooh. It tastes like swill.
I see you're a difficult man to deal with.
You have no idea. Landon is the Casimir, the ruler of the land, and the last ivory dragon morpher. Blasted from his body by a demon out of legend, he must stop the destruction of his land and his people, while trapped inside the mind of a boy thief. Together they're in a race against time, a fight against evil, and an unforgettable adventure. Hosting the Casimir by C.E. Sales. Available through Fantasy Forge Press at www.anim5.com.
You may carry the Dark Master's name, but you are not him.
Really?
I have a request from C.E. Sales that if you are kind enough to order her book, please either phone the Fantasy Forge Press telephone number or send an email once you've ordered. C.E. Sales can be reached at casimir@hotmail.com. That's casimier@hotmail.com. Now, this, she tells me, is so that she can be sure to keep an eye out for your envelope in the P.O. box. She isn't able to get to the P.O. box as often as she'd like, but wants to get your copy out as soon as possible, and to do that, she needs to know that you ordered it so that she can make the trip. In addition, listeners to this podcast can get personalized autographed editions. Yes, a message of your choice, written and signed by the author, if you simply mention that you heard about hosting the Casimir on International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. Actually, strike that. Simply mention that you heard about hosting the Casimir. And get your personalized autographed edition. I heard the audiobook that was published by Books in Motion before I got hold of the paperback, back when it first came out. It's one fantastic story. It's a real page-turner. And she has a gift for dialogue, especially, that I haven't seen in many other authors. Her characters have a life and a voice that makes me care about them. So that's a super job, and it's well worth your time to be entertained by it. I wouldn't have it on my site otherwise. And I'm happy to see that a quality paperback of the novel is out now, too. It may interest you to know that this is the first of a trilogy. I happen to know that books 2 and 3 are already written, and she's received requests for books 2 and 3 from everyone that's read this first one, Hosting the Casimir. But those two won't see print if she's unable to sell book 1. So anyone with recommendations as to how best she may do that, I'm sure she'd welcome the input. Again, her address is casimir@hotmail.com. Next up, my take on things to do with the powers of Superman, and then some talk about heroes and heroines, and that's coming up after this.
You know, just a little wild root cream oil in your hair can mean a world of improvement in your general appearance. Just try it and see. See how Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose dandruff. Yes, you'll be glad to discover that just a few drops of Wild Root Cream Oil make a big difference. So if you've never tried it before, get the 25-cent Get Acquainted size and ask for it by name. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
Well, I did a little more looking online. I wanted to find some contemporary authoritative definitions of the words hero and heroine. And I went to Wikipedia first, because I've been finding that my favorite source lately. Hero, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. This article is about the type of person known as a hero. For other uses, see hero. Disambiguation. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? A heroine, the feminine of hero, should not be confused with heroin, the drug. I don't think I was in danger of that. Neither were you. But to continue, more from Wikipedia. From the Greek mythology and folklore, a hero, male, or heroine, female, is an eminent character archetype that quintessentially embodies key traits exalted in the originating culture. The hero commonly possesses superhuman capabilities, or idealized character traits, which enable him or her to perform extraordinary beneficial deeds, i.e., heroic deeds, that inspire fame. That from Wikipedia. And of course, it's not the whole article, but how much time do you have? I don't have that much time. I bet you don't either. Merriam-Webster. A mythological or a legendary figure, often of divine descent, endowed with great strength or ability. An illustrious warrior. A man admired for his achievements and noble qualities. One that shows great courage. The principal male character in a literary or dramatic work. The central figure in an event, period, or movement. That from Merriam-Webster. And these definitions are okay, I suppose. I mean, they give the classic traditional viewpoint of what a hero is, but they differ from mine in a few respects. Not every respect, but a few respects. I mean, I think it's an interesting point. Just so I don't get too far ahead of myself here, the question for this show was, if you had all of the powers of Superman without any of the moral or ethical constraints associated with him, what would you do? Now, the association of Superman with hero, I guess, can't be avoided, but there really isn't anything in the question that stipulates you must take these powers and act like a hero. In fact, it hints at the opposite. And what the question really looks into is what you personally would do if you were suddenly endowed with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. It's the introduction of the superhuman opportunity for wish fulfillment, brought about by your own actions. But it's got the added proviso that you can certainly be blamed by people and judged for your actions, but you can't physically be held accountable for them, and you can't be stopped from doing them. And you can't be punished or brought to justice by any known human method should you decide to abuse the power you have. Now, just to place myself in a very unflattering light, I'll give you an example. When I first started pondering the question, it was during a particularly bad week in the news. Suicide bombings were up. Hurricane Katrina had shown us just how much wealth and power are lavished on the ineffective and incompetent. And there was a promise of price increases for gas because of the disaster. And I will confess that at that time, given the powers of Superman, I was ready to do some very unproductive and violent things after dealing with the stranded victims of the hurricane. Now, that I could have done in an afternoon if I was Superman. Spend a day just doing a sweep with x-ray vision, get the people out, get the people out that were trapped under their own roofs. And then after that was done, raiding the ship's stores from a few dozen naval craft all over the world. I could have just dropped a few thousand inflatable rafts with fresh water and food and medical supplies. But after that, my first inclination was to begin a field trip flight to all the destinations where I could get my hands on the individuals lying to me and everyone else through the new reality god, television, and just start punching heads. But that would have been murder. It might have been very gratifying, but it would have solved nothing. There would always be ambitious, bullying, greeting, little ignorant pigs standing by to take the place of those I eliminated. It would have been a waste of time and energy. With the powers of Superman, what else could I do? I could have constructed a massive cage, a great big massive steel cage, and gone off on a high-speed flight, carrying it with me around the world, and gathering up all the pompous and pathetic figureheads or genuine dictators and just carted them off to a spot in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and then dumped a few tons of camping supplies nearby and just leave them there. Let them either enjoy a camping trip or perish because of their own distrust and stupidity. But again, that solves nothing. Rounding up corrupt world leaders would only create a vacuum of power that would be filled by people just like them. And that's at best. At worst, it would create local chaos where, as usual, the innocent people would suffer for it. So what else might be a good try at making a positive difference given the powers of Superman? I don't know. I suppose if I were to take my time and educate myself in the mechanics and the tools and the methods, and then gather up all of the materials and build that lunar solar microwave array that I've got on the brain that I can't seem to stop talking about since episode 3. But I could build that array that would power the planet with abundance. What's Adam 5 doing? Well, he's got the power of Superman. He's making all the panels and relays and stations and satellites and receivers and distribution points. Just for argument's sake, even with the powers of Superman's strength and speed, let's say it took me a year to do it. Just 1 year. And there it was, in place. Unlimited free energy. What would change? Would a world with no energy competition, whatever, actually stop fighting? Or would people still find plenty to squabble about and keep killing each other over? Not sure. But it really didn't take a long time for me to come up with my conclusion. That's probably your conclusion, too, and that is that Superman's power can't save the world, even if 10 people had it. Even if you could split yourself into 10 super yous, and you could go all over the Earth 24/7, destroying every missile, ripping apart every piece of artillery, every cannon, every bomb, every tank, every plane, and then when you were done with that, get started on the M-16s and the AK-47s. It wouldn't take you too terribly long because you'd have X-ray vision to find it and laser vision to destroy it. Wouldn't take you long at all. Especially if there were 10 of you. Maybe a week, maybe two, maybe a month, whatever. What would humans do? Well, they'd just pick up swords and slingshots and wish you'd go away. So Sarah's idea gains more and more merit and becomes more attractive and logical as something to do with superhuman powers. It's a more rational thing to do with your strength and abilities than punching heads. And in a very true sense, Digger's story hit on the final conclusion. You can't make a real and solid change for the better by flying around and putting out social fires and fighting local injustices. You can't hand civilization a solution to the human condition. It just doesn't work. It's the people themselves that have to change. I don't know if that's really happening or not. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. So I guess that imagining that you have the powers of Superman can be a cathartic daydream, but not much more than that. Maybe something to ease the tension of being stuck in traffic, or to supplement your disgust at your current local or national politics. But aside from that, even if it were real, no particular good would come of it. Unless I'm mistaken. What do you think? Do you think it'd be a good idea just to march in and take over? Just haul that sock puppet out of the Oval Office and stick him on a road work crew somewhere to earn a living? And then start telling people the game's up. The game is up. This is how we do things from now on. I got the power of Superman. You can't stop me. Lee Steger's story said run for office, not usurp the democratic system. Could you actually do that anyway? March in and take over? Take charge? How would you do that? Could I, Anum 5, set up and begin an effective, benevolent dictatorship? An oxymoron, if I ever heard one. Could I do that? Could I go into the White House and say I'm in charge and start giving orders while I've got bullets bouncing off of me and people go keep setting up emergency provisional governments somewhere else while they try to figure out what to do with me? I don't know. Probably wouldn't work. Who'd listen to me? I'd just be this dangerous thing. Even a daydream can lead to some pretty weird complications. Gonna take a break. Back in a bit.
Grob's emulsified nose drops will surprise you with the way they look and act. These nose drops are white and creamy. They don't look, taste, or smell like medicine, yet they are highly effective. That's because they are medically superior, because they stay up in the nose. Any child can understand that nose drops that stay up in the nose will do more good than nose drops that run right out. Impress this fact upon mother, and she will undoubtedly let you try these new type nose drops when you have a head cold or stuffed head. All drugstores sell Grove's emulsified nose drops, and they're really more economical than the old-fashioned kind because you get more for your money and because you can use less. Ask mother to get a bottle today.
So, what about this hero business? Mr. T asked.
Are there real heroes in the world today? Probably not superheroes, but if there were heroes today, who would it be and why?
Are there real-life heroes? Of course there are. Of course there are. He knew it. He knew it when he asked it. And my opinion, and you can email your opinions too, because I'll read them. My opinion is the only reason Superman, even as a fictional character, the only reason Superman is a hero is because he decided not to go around killing people. That's it. His powers don't make him a hero. He was born with them. What makes him a hero is he could wipe out every human being on Earth, good or bad. And he doesn't. He exercises some self-control. You want a more valid fictional hero, a hero with depth, personality, human frailties, motivations? There's plenty of them. There's tons of them in literature. But I'm going to select one for my own personal reasons, and you'll find out what those reasons are in a bit. But the name is Sidney Cotton from Tale of Two Cities. Sidney Cotton, poor dumb sap, sacrificed his life for the happiness of the woman he loved. Here, check this out. It's only a minute and 30 seconds long.
There are some hopes a man may have which remain in the shadows forever.
Do you have such hopes, Sidney?
No more. I'm like one who died young.
Sidney, you've come often to the house in the past few months, and yet we know very little about you, except that you're our friend. Is there nothing I can do to help you, Sidney?
I could never hope to repay what you've already done. May I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Will you hear me without shrinking from me?
What is it?
You've been the last dream of my soul. Seeing you here in your home has stirred old shadows that I thought had died out of me. I've heard whispers from old voices impelling me upward that I thought was silent forever. I've had unformed ideas of striving afresh, fighting out the abandoned fight. A dream. All a dream, but I wish you to know that you inspired it.
Oh, Sidney. Will nothing of it remain?
Perhaps as a dream might linger on after the dreamer awakes. But try to hold me in your mind as sincere in this one thing. I would embrace any sacrifice for you or for those dear to you. Think now and then that there's a man who would give his life to keep a life you love beside you.
Now that's a hero. Now, some may argue, no, Annam, that's an idiot. But, come on. You've been the last dream of my soul. You can't get better smooth talk than that. Next time you're trying to sweep a woman off her feet or role-play a romantic buckler of swashes, take a tip from the old masters. They got it all over us moderns for posh talk. Think there's a man who would give his life for you or for one who's dear to you. That's Dickens for you. It's epic. It's sweeping. It's melodramatic. But as we know, it's fictitious. And incidentally, that little clip introduces a new feature of International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. That clip came from a 30-minute radio program called Lux Academy Award Theater. That was Orson Welles giving out with the immortal lines from Tale of Two Cities. And the full episode, that self-contained radio dramatization of Tale of Two Cities, an old-time radio classic, is yours to download with my thanks to you for giving it a try. The link will be in the Gurukatingatangatungs. Most people think of old-time radio as the same five or six pieces of crap that's sold in a box set piled up next to the calendars at the Barnes & Noble or Burners, but there's tons more out there. There's thousands and thousands of hours available online now in MP3 format that's out there, not necessarily to download, but at least to buy CDs burned full of full episodes. Check them out. I'm not going to recommend anyone in particular because I don't want people to think I'm getting kickbacks from anybody. Not that it would matter, but whatever. You can find them for yourself. They're selling them out there. But this episode and new episodes every week are going to be available through International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. There's a lot more out there than Abbott and Costello and The Shadow. Tons of it. And real quality, too. And most often, every time I make a new one available, I'll try to tie it into the theme or the question of the show. But that said, I'm done digressing. Heroes. Heroes in reality. There aren't enough of them. But you can find them. You can find them. I don't have, for the real life stuff, fiction is one thing, but for the real life stuff, I don't have a scale or a totem or a 1 to 10 rating thing that I can say, oh, this person is more of a hero than another. I don't have the right to do that because I'm not one of them. And I'm going to apologize to you right now. I apologize to you, the listener, for what's coming next because it isn't new. It isn't earth-shattering, and it's certainly not controversial. It's me playing the role of Captain Obvious. And you've heard this before, but I'm just going to mention it now because, well, it's pertinent to the show. The real heroes are the people who do what they feel is the right thing to do for the benefit of those around them. People who work to save the lives or improve the quality of the lives of other people. And they make sacrifices. They make personal sacrifices to do it. Sometimes they put themselves in personal physical danger to do it. And you don't have to travel far to find them. You want to find a hero? You don't have to go far. Your local volunteer rescue squad. Go ahead and check them out. They're the ones that get out of bed or leave their dinner table when that siren goes off. And they tune in their receivers or they make a phone call and they find out where they're needed. And the situations they encounter and the sights they have to witness when they arrive to do a job they don't get paid for. Some of those sights and situations are pretty horrific things, and they'll remember them for the rest of their lives. They don't have superpowers. They just take the risks and the responsibilities because they know that we'd be in a sorry state if they didn't. I couldn't do that. I know I couldn't do that. I don't have the guts. I don't have the courage to approach a car wreck and help out the survivors. Real-life heroes. Who else? Of the man or the woman that donates blood every week or every month because they feel it's necessary, because it's the right thing to do. The police officer that risks her life every time she stops a car with a drug runner in it, or even just some drunken idiot with an attitude. Who else? The firefighter that tries to get the kids out of the top floor of the burning house. And these kids aren't waving their teddy bears out the window like in the comic books. They're scared. necklace hiding in the closet. So the firefighter has to go inside to get them. Who else? Real-life heroes. And send in your examples of real-life heroes, too. Because I'll read those, too. The 18-year-old kid wearing a uniform sitting in an unarmored vehicle in 120-degree heat on the other side of the world. Forget the politics. Forget the politics. Throw the politics out the window. If your son or your daughter is in a uniform, British, Japanese, Russian, American, Canadian, anybody, and they're in a place where there is real danger, and that could be anywhere nowadays, especially if you're wearing a uniform, that's heroism. That's bravery. That's courage. And self-sacrifice. They go because they're told to go. And they follow a discipline because they believe in what they're doing. Now, I'm sitting in, I mean, in the safety and the comfort of a house with electricity and a shopping center down the block, I can argue the right or the wrong politics about it until the cows come home. But the danger, in the danger zones where they are, the risks are real. And the people are real, and the self-sacrifice is real, and the heroism is real. And I don't have the guts to do that either. I know I don't. State your case. Tell me what you think. I haven't said anything really controversial. I don't think I have anyway, but what's your opinion? Do you agree? Do you agree that the people I've mentioned are real-life heroes? And if you do, the next question has to be, why are they treated like crap? Why is it that someone who has risked his or her life for years on end is not given a house to live in? Or tax exemption? Or something. Something besides a pitifully inadequate paycheck. Maybe an endowment for the kids to go to college. Some type of reward that's more in keeping with the level of sacrifice.
Oh, well, we can't do that. It would cost too much.
I don't know. I daydream. Maybe the volunteer rescue squad member who puts in 3 or 4 nights a week on call. Maybe they shouldn't be given a house. But isn't it kind of a slap in their face that they have to stop for gas to get to the emergency and pay for it out of their own pockets? I mean, I really tend to doubt they're doing it for fun and excitement. Yeah, it's just got to be a boatload of fun to get out of bed at 2:30 in the morning and go into an apartment on an emergency call where some poor guy, built like a linebacker, surrounded by screaming, crying kids, is having a diabetic hallucination and he's taking a swing at you as you try to help him out. I bet that's just better than Nintendo. Sure. I don't know. What do you think? One last word about Superman. He may have it all over the supervillains in the comic books, but in my book, he's just not that big a deal. Even if an actual honest-to-God real-life Superman were to make the headlines tomorrow in the New York Times, in this reality, he's still a wuss compared to the people I've been talking about. Because he's never in any danger. He can't be harmed. The best thing he could do for us is decide not to kill us all for fun. That's the most noble, heroic thing he can do. Make the ethical decision not to just wipe us out like we're one big giant video game or something. And if he wants to make himself useful, maybe he could start hauling large amounts of fresh water and books and medicine and resources to different parts of the planet where it's really needed. Well, it's long past time to close out installment number 21. But the question for next week. Here is the question for next week.
Are human beings a part of nature? If we evolved here on Earth, why did we evolve into a species that no longer belongs here on Earth? Or have we?
Now, please enjoy this piece of fine music from Mr. T, after which I'll be saying goodbye. superpowered job there, Thomas. Musical taste varies with everyone, but that piece goes into my burn it to CD list. Thank you all once again for listening. Thanks a plenty to Sarah and Digger Story and Mr. T for the listener response and materials. Welcome again to the new Frapper Map members. Be sure to check out the Gurukatingatangatungs for this episode with the creative examples of talent from IDD FOS listeners, hosting the Casimir, and the free radio show. I hope you'll be back next week. I hope everything goes well for you. And until then, best of days.
A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.